Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and read this scripture to you from the book of Isaiah, and then we're going to see its counterpart in the new covenant. If people are satisfied this morning, God can't find what he's looking for. Right now, God, the Bible said, the Lord, his eyes run to and fro. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Amen. Doppler radar. They say that one of the biggest radars we have in the Central Florida area is the Klystron 9. They've got this super radar system. And I mean, it shows so much in such detail. It searches a perimeter and a particular area. But there's no radar like God. Amen. When he's looking for what he's looking for, he says, I don't just go to some central area. It doesn't matter if it's in Tampa or Tasmania. If I find what I'm looking for, I'm going to show up and I'm going to show out. Can you say amen? If I find what I'm looking for, can you say amen? Well, I want to be a blip on his radar this morning. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. You say, Brother Vimble, you said you had a broken heart. A broken heart has nothing to do with my faith in God. Can you say amen? It may affect your faith in God. It does not affect mine. Amen. You can have a broken heart and still have faith in God. That's the good news. Praise the Lord. Amen. Listen carefully to, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. Can you say amen? Well, what's he looking for? What is God looking for? He's looking for someone that believes that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. That's simply what he's looking for. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed and formed by the word of God. Can you say amen? They that come to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Can you say amen? Say it with me. Diligently seek him. Praise God. That's what he's looking for. And he said, if I find that, I'm going to manifest myself. I'm going to answer prayer. My name is going to be glorified. Amen. That's what he's looking for. So I want to cultivate that kind of atmosphere and attitude in my heart. Whether it's broken or unbroken, whether I'm on a mountaintop or deep in a valley, God is still upon his throne. And he's still a prayer answering God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I preached in a meeting not long ago at in a church in Plant City, and we closed with a whole litany of things. When you're too tired and worn out and fatigued to lift up your remote and change channels, let alone lift up your hand and praise God. Pray anyhow. Pray anyhow. Because it's not based on how you feel at a given time. It's based on the fact that God is listening. Hallelujah. And God answers prayer. Pray anyway. So I'm determined to pray anyway. If you only pray when you feel like it and you feel great, then you're not going to pray when you need the answer the most. Can you say amen? So listen to what Isaiah is calling for. Again, I want to give you background. In Isaiah 64, temple worship was going off beautifully. The proper sacrifices were being offered. The proper mixture that God had prescribed for the offering of incense was being prepared. The incense was being burned in the temple day and night, perpetually. It was to be perpetual. Incense represents praise and prayer. Praise God. And it was to be perpetual. Can you say amen? I will bless the Lord perpetually at all times. His praise shall continually be upon my lips. The Bible said in the new covenant, amen, offering the fruit of your lips, a sacrifice. acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ. Did you know if praise came from the heart this morning, it was transformed into just a church service song to an actual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Amen. Prayer was to be offered perpetually. Pray without ceasing. Can you say amen? It doesn't mean you don't stop praying enough to ask someone to pass you the biscuits. Can you say amen? You can't just pray for the biscuits when you can ask someone to pass you the biscuits. But what it meant was don't ever give up on prayer. Don't ever quit utilizing the privilege and power of prayer. Don't ever get so disgusted, distracted, deceived, and discouraged that you quit praying, because the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth, from Tampa to Tasmania, praise God. Hallelujah. What's he searching for? Those whose hearts are perfect toward him. They that come to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So temple worship is going off. The proper mixture for the incense is being, there's no strange fire going on in the temple at this time. Amen. There's no reason in terms of the proper offerings and the proper worship, the proper protocols were being kept that God had ordered. There's a church doing the same thing in the New Covenant called the Church of Ephesus. They were keeping the faith. They were pure in doctrine. They were defenders of the faith. They were withstanding persecution. And Jesus said, I've got a real problem with you. Who could have a problem with a church with that exterior? Christ, the one whose eyes are searching the hearts of men. He says, you got it all right, but you got something dead wrong. And what you got dead wrong is so dead wrong that if you don't fix it quick, I'm going to remove your lampstand. He said, he used the word quickly in Ephesians. I mean, in the chapter 2 of Revelation to the book of Ephesus, to the Ephesians. He said, I will come to you quickly. There's some things God is long-suffering about, something he tolerates, is more patient with, but this thing, he said, I have no patience with this. I'm going to come to you quickly. I'm going to remove your lampstand. You're going to have what you're going to put on that wonderful front, but I'm going to back off. I'm backing off the lampstand. It said candlestick, I know, but everywhere candlestick is used in the book of Revelation, the actual Greek is lampstand. It is an oil-fed fire. Everybody say an oil-fed fire. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something about the Holy Spirit today. We take a lot of heat because there's been a lot of wildfire. And I'm not talking about that horse that they sung about, you know, a long time ago. Amen. That song. I'm talking about, yeah, there is. There are people who misuse and abuse and do not represent the power and presence of God and gifts of God. And Paul had it before we ever got it. Amen. There was wildfire in Corinth. And he had to come and try to bring some order to the disorder and the chaos that had come. But I want you to know there is real fire. And in the process of trying to stamp out the wildfire, there are a lot of churches that ended up with no fire. Can you say amen? But they are doctrinally pure. Amen. I'm going to tell you, you take the fire away, the first love is not going to flame too very long, because you're not going to experience firsthand and personally the presence of God. Amen. You're going to have great biblical knowledge in your head, but you're not going to have passionate love in your heart. Guaranteed that love is going to die unless you and I are able to have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? The Holy Spirit didn't just come to give you a liver shiver on Sunday morning. Can you say amen? He came to mediate a presence to you. He came to be the mediator of a person to you. Can you say amen? Jesus actually said, I'm going away, but I'm not going to leave you without comfort. What kind of comfort? The comfort of a person. I'm going, but one is coming that is going to manifest me to you. And they said, well, Lord, I mean, everywhere we go, everybody's pushing in. They're wanting to touch you. They're wanting to bless. And even the kids come and want to sit on your lap. We told them to get away, and you said, let them come. Took them on his lap and blessed them, of such is the kingdom of heaven. And now you're going to go away, but you're going to be with us in a personal. How can, how's, Oh, Lord, you know, I don't understand it. How will you manifest yourself to us and not unto everybody? He said, if any man love me, here's part of that perfecting of the heart again. And keep my commandments, have a heart to obey me. He said, I and my Father. See, the Holy Spirit is going to cause the presence of God and the person of Christ to be made real in you and real in me. I and my Father will what? Come to Him. And do what? Make our abode with Him. Can you say amen? This is going to get highly personal. Amen. You can be in the middle of a crowd where nobody's experiencing that, but you are experiencing that because you accept the fact that the Holy Spirit came to manifest, mediate the personal presence of Jesus to you. Jesus said on another occasion that when the Holy Spirit comes, I will come to you. Literally translated, I will come back to you. If we really get this biblically correct, the second coming is the third coming. And the rapture is the secret coming. So you don't hardly count. But if you did, then it would be the fourth coming. First coming was when Jesus was manifest in the flesh, born of a virgin, the first advent. Ah, but when he said, I'm going to my Father. Because if I don't go to my Father, the Comforter can't come to you. But if I go to my Father, He can come to you. Well, what's He going to do when He comes to us? Are we just going to get power trips? Are we just going to get liver shivers? Amen. Even manifest gifts of the Spirit? More than that is going to happen. He said, through Him, I'm coming back to you. Because when He comes, He will not speak of Himself. He will testify of me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He will testify of me. He will testify of me. He will testify of me. Amen. Remember when the servant was sent out to get a bride for a man too busy to go courting? Amen. You remember that story? And he goes out looking for a bride for this man. And he searches all over for this bride, for this busy man working in his fields. And he comes and he's going to water his camels, and he's watering his camels and because they're thirsty. And a lady comes up and said, I'll water those camels for you. And she's beautiful inside and outside. Now, there are a lot of people beautiful on the outside, but the inside. I always put it this way. You know, the Bible said to ladies who have the outward beauty, He talks this way to men too, but we don't have the beauty that you have. And all the men said, and all the ladies said, amen. We're just not as pretty as you. Amen. And we shouldn't be. We should be the masculine. And we, amen. You're pretty, folks. Lady folks. So God spoke to you about your prettiness because He wanted to make a point out of that prettiness. He said, you can don't let it be the plaiting of your hair, the putting on of gold or apparel. That's not what really makes you beautiful. Because see, you can put on makeup. I was in, and I told this before, but I just feel like it'd be so illustrative to tell it again. Standing in line in a Circle K, amen, and there was a lady in front of me, and there was a guy behind me, and I couldn't help but notice that he was a tall, young, handsome black man, but he had on way too much mascara. And I'm serious, and, you know, I just get a little, you know, sometimes I just feel a little, you know, it's, I just, yeah, kind of creeped me out a little bit. But anyway, I never say anything. I just, you know, and anyway, I got up and I had put on my, you know, I usually after I shower put on a little bit of aftershave. And, you know, when you put that stuff on, you don't smell it anymore, but other people can, you know. And so anyway, the lady behind the counter, she said, sir, would you mind telling me what kind of cologne that you were wearing? And I was trying to remember. I couldn't remember. You know, when somebody, I never do good on a quiz show. I know everything until someone asks me something. Like what's the number of the church? Well, it's on my phone. You go to church and press. So how do you memorize a number? You press church on your cell phone. Amen. Let's see, 621 4263, no, 64, and they think, don't you even know the number of your own church? Amen. Anyway, while I was trying to figure out, you know, that guy behind me, he just looked over my shoulder and said, he's got on some of that come and get me cologne. Come and get me cologne. And I thought, Pamela, come and get me. Amen. Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. Lord, help me. I don't know where we were going with this story, but it'll fit. Makeup. You can put on makeup. We really don't go there. Amen? Amen. Okay. Praise God. I'm not going to shave my eyebrows and draw some on just because. Amen. I wouldn't look right. Can you say? You can do that. Y'all can do that if you want to. But I can't do it. We were at Lens Crafters, and there was a guy in Lens Crafters that had no eyebrows, but he had eyebrows that were marked on. And again, yeah, it didn't look right on him. But he used them, and he said it's not the adorning of the outward. And some people said, don't plait your hair, don't shave your leg, don't shave under your arm. Come on, give me a break. He wasn't talking about that. He's saying you can make yourself with gold and apparel beautiful. You can have your hair done in special ways and make yourself beautiful. But he said it's not the outside adornment that makes you truly beautiful. It's the inside. It's the inside. It's the inside. It's the inside. A meek and quiet spirit in a lady of God is something God honors so much, and a man ought to be glad to find. Anyway, he found this bride. Amen. He found this bride for his master. And he said, this has got to be her. It's got to be her. And he had all of these jewels to offer her, all of these blessings. And he said, I got to tell you about a guy. I got to tell you about a man. I've known my master for you. He's the most. See, when he comes, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will not speak of himself. He's not here to draw people's attention to himself, but to point people to Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Beware of any ministry that emphasizes the Holy Spirit more than Jesus Christ. Because when the Holy Spirit comes, he will tell you about Jesus. He will minister Jesus. He will manifest Jesus. Can you say amen? You're to fall in love with Jesus. You're to look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. You're to get saved through Jesus' blood that was shed on the cross. God has highly exalted Jesus and given him a name that is above every name that is named, of things in heaven, earth, and beneath the earth, that every knee would bow and every tongue confess that he, Jesus, is Lord to the glory of God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. When he comes, he will tell you about me. Praise God. Just like this servant for his master is telling her. And the wonderful thing about it is she says, yes. If he's that wonderful, sight unseen. Let me tell you something about the New Testament. Sight unseen. Whom having not seen, ye love. And I don't mean some kind of religious crush. I'm talking about deep, devoted love. A love that is so satisfying to devote that deeply that it becomes joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Praise. She fell in love with him sight unseen. And how many has ever seen Jesus visibly, totally visibly? I haven't, but I'm in love with him. Why? Because the Holy Spirit keeps telling me more and more about him. And the more I know about him, I can't help but love him. Because it's not his physical appearance that I'm loving. It's his character. Can you say, man? The Bible said literally that we are a chosen generation. We are a peculiar people. Praise God. We're covenant children. We are people washed in the blood of the Lamb. We have been brought into God's royal family. He doesn't call us just sinners saved by grace. He calls us His sons and His very daughters. Amen. He gives us joint seating with His Son in terms of how He accepts us and loves us. Can you say amen? You're peculiar. In other words, you're a strange duck. Amen. To the world, they don't understand how you can love an unseen God. They don't even understand how you can believe in anyone you can't see, let alone love someone you can't see. Holy Spirit came. You know what He's done? He's come to find a bride for Jesus Christ. That's what He's doing right now. He's preparing a bride for Jesus Christ. That's why the gospel is going to the nations of the world. That's why many nations are responding with tens of thousands of people coming to Jesus. The last day harvest isn't beginning. The last day harvest is almost in. Can you say, man, the mighty work of sweeping nations of people into the kingdom of God is taking place here this morning? For the born-again rate in South America has exceeded the natural birth rate. There are more people coming to Jesus than there are being born naturally because of the mighty Holy Ghost revival that is taking place in South America. South Korea boasts the largest gathering that has ever gathered in one place for one event in human history, gathered for a gospel meeting in South Korea because, amen, God's Spirit is moving to bring in that last mighty harvest. Down in Africa, there are tents being erected that are the largest. See, this is all record-breaking stuff. The largest gathering of people in one place for one event in human history was to hear the gospel in South Korea. Since the beginning of time, nothing has attracted people of that magnitude. Can't hardly get them in church in some segments of America unless you entertain them. But around the world, they're coming. John saw them coming into the holy city out of every kindred, tongue, and nation and said, who is this crowd of people from all over the world? These are they who have come through great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and they've made them white in the blood of the Lamb. By the way, this is not just the tribulation saints. This is people who came into the kingdom. Because it didn't say, see, every time people hear tribulation, they think of that. In this world you shall have tribulation before the great tribulation comes. And through much tribulation, you enter into the kingdom of God. Satan's going to fight back. Satan's going to push back. Can you say amen? How many know Satan pushes back? Can you say amen? But we press on in. Amen. When you decided to get saved, all the pushing back that he had at his disposal couldn't keep you from Christ. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But you had to make up your mind. You wasn't going to go back. You had to go on. Hallelujah. Forgetting the things that are behind and reaching to the things that are before. I press toward the mark. Amen. If you want victory, you're going to have to learn to press on and press in. Praise God. I'm here today because I pressed on to be here. Amen. Praise God. You still preaching with a broken heart? Yeah, but it's on the mend. Hallelujah. It's mending. It's mending while I'm preaching. Can you say amen? Glory be to God. That's why I tell people, if you feel bad, come to church. If you get mad, come to church. If you get down, come to church. If you fall out with somebody, come to church. Get where the anointing is. Get where Jesus is being exalted. Get where somebody's going to lift him up. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Get where brothers and sisters will stand with you and pray for you. And God will deliver you. And God will set you free. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Wow. So when he comes, and the wonderful thing was, when she accepted, he opened up those packages those tokens. Whoever this woman is, let her know that I'm going to be a blessing to her. And there was all kinds of jewels and stuff. Sight unseen blessing. We've never seen Jesus yet, but has he blessed us with blessings? So many blessings. Oh, and she's saying, wow, this is great. This is really great, but tell me more about him. See, that's the wonder of it all. Don't matter how many spiritual gifts and blessings we receive, our heart is set on him. Can you say, man? Remember that song, Tell Me More. Tell me more about Jesus. More of his mercy, more of his grace, more of his love my soul can trace. Tell me more. Tell me more. Tell me more about Jesus. Can you? When we get that attitude, the Holy Spirit gets highly active. Hallelujah. That's his mission. Praise God. When he comes, he will testify of me. Praise God. And literally, Jesus said, when he comes to you, through him, I will come to you. I will come back to you. That's a coming we kind of don't emphasize, because he said, if I go to the Father, he's going to send the Comforter. And when the Comforter comes, he's going to manifest me to you. I'm coming back to you. But I'm coming back to you in an intimate, personal way. You can be in the middle of a crowd and no one is experiencing him, but you are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, but you are. Praise God. Hallelujah. Why? Because the Holy Spirit in you is going to cause. Listen, and he'll talk to you too. Amen. Oh, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked to us along the way? He said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. When he comes, he will bring to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And your heart will burn within you. Not because he's physically by you, but he's spiritually within you. Can you say amen? He can take one verse of scripture and quicken it to your heart. And cause your heart to just burn with faith and love and passion for him. It's more than a liver shiver or goose pimple. It's the presence of God being made manifest. And when the practice of religion, when we're satisfied with it without the presence of God, that's all we have, is the practice of our religion. And that's what Jesus found when he came. And that's what Isaiah was experiencing in his day. And he said, no, God is bigger than this. God is better than this. Can you say, man, oh, that thou would rend the heavens and come down to us. Can you say, man, halabakusandadaba. That the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth, the fire causes the waters to boil, and to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. I'm going to tell you something. The church can never be educated enough in the scripture to convince the world and all the world religion that our God is the true and living God. It's going to take his power, his manifest presence. Can you say amen? That's why, amen, when that power encounter come, there was one prophet that was man enough to stand up, amen, for Jehovah. And all the prophets of Baal assembled themselves. And he said, listen. Amen. You say your God is the true and living God? Let me tell you something. Let the God that shows up and let the God that shows out be declared the true and living God. You need more than the correct doctrine. You even need more than the truth. We still need God to show up. We got the Bible. We don't need God anymore. It's the very Bible that tells us how desperately we do need him. The gospel did not come in word only. Hear me, educators. Hear me, graduates from Bible schools with PhDs. The gospel did not come in word only. It came in power. It came in the Holy Ghost. And it came in much assurance. Peter said, we preach the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Let the God that answers by fire. Let the God that shows up. Let him be distinguished from the false gods and the gods that man has made. Let the God who made man show up. We're still having power encounters. And we still need God to distinguish Himself. Hallelujah. Part of the perfect heart is reverence. 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 We're toning down the seriousness, the holiness of meetings. We're treating it like a casual event. And I'm not saying top hat and tails. I'm saying it's our attitudes. I listened to an evangelist to South America. He had a great indoor stadium to hold his meeting. Thousands attended. They had some groups down there that could sing. I mean, you get that South American beat on the, not just the drums, but all of it together, and the trumpets. They had some awesome praise. I mean, people were slapping their hands. They were enjoying it. When it came time to introduce the speaker to bring God's holy word and to bring a message from God and to reach out to souls and to call people to dedicate and rededicate their life to Christ, there was this kind of atmosphere now of just somebody talking to this one, somebody whispering to that one, somebody doing this, somebody doing that. And he walks to the microphone and he sees that and he don't speak a word. And after a while, they all figure out, wait a minute, speaker, here's your speaker. You're supposed to be speaking. I ain't going to be speaking while you're doing that. If you really want God to move, now he can deliver his message and leave when nothing happened. Amen? He can speak the truth and nothing happened. Because the Holy Spirit wants to manifest the presence of God. But we need to reverence that presence. He shows up on a bush. Somebody got to do something to show reverence for that presence. God says, you better take them shoes off. Take them off right now. Because my presence on this bush has sanctified the ground around this bush. And you're standing on holy ground. Do something as an act of reverence. Take them shoes off right here and right now. If that guy had treated that presence and that manifest power with irreverence, God would have left that bush and left that man. He took off his shoes. He said, I'm going to turn aside and see this thing. Can you say, man, glory be to God? He looked out over that audience and he said, I waited. And then I told them, there is a soccer star down in Brazil, South America, named Pele. He was the best known soccer star, and that's their big football, baseball, all hockey, all in one. It's all in that game down there. Amen. And he said, if Pele was here, you would be completely silent. You would be reverent and respectful because you look up to him and respect him. He said that he's a sports star that you love and revere. He said, I'm telling you. There's someone greater than Pele here today. And it isn't me, the messenger. It's God who I represent. He's here. And he said, you need to reverence him and reverence his presence. And you know what? Amen. The Spirit of God began to move on that audience. People begin to weep. People begin to weep. And he said, you know, he thought the devil was probably fighting. Because he said it sounded like a storm came and wind began to move and almost shake that stadium. Said he could hear the wind blowing. And it was actually, he thought, some kind of terrible thunderstorm or tornadic activity had come while they were in that building. But he said while that wind and storm was going on, he said people began to come to the altar and repent. And he preached a message, and then even more people came to the altar and got saved, and people rededicated. Amen. He said he walked outside that building. Amen. And when we walked outside the building, there was security because of all the crowd. There was police security. And he asked one of those police security. He said, he looked up, and there was a starlit sky. And he said, bad storm came a little while ago, wasn't it? It must have. He said, what storm? He looked up and he said, there's been no storm out here. You know what was happening in that building? What happened on the day of Pentecost? There came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. Can you say, man? There came a sound. Amen. The Holy Ghost couldn't be seen, but he came in such force. He came in such power. It sounded like a mighty wind blowing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And he realized, I heard that sound. God came in this building. God convicted hearts because the people in this building reverence his presence. It's a show now. It's a program. It's entertainment. The Holy Ghost draws back when there's irreverence. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. It's not that he's touchy. He's holy. Can you say amen? We cannot treat holy things any old way. Go ask the people that bring their picnic lunch and the big bottle of wine to communion. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Go ask Ananias and Sapphira. Can you say amen? You haven't lied to man. You lied to the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Your body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. How are you supposed to treat it? Because he lives within you. How's it supposed to be treated? Keep it holy. Why? Because if you defile the temple, what's God? Listen, we're blaming the devil for too much. Can you say amen? Some things are a judgment from God. Some are a chastisement from God. Can you say amen? And we're blaming it all on the devil as if God never, ever moves in chastisement. He said, you're a wild olive branch grafted in. You have the right to all the covenant blessings of Israel. You have the right to all the correction too. Just because you got in here by grace, don't think you can rebel and walk in evil. Irreverence. If God cut them off because of disobedience, you will not escape that judgment. That's what he said. Brother, are you trying to scare me? No, I'm trying to get you to a safe place where you don't ever have to be afraid. Somebody said, fear God, and you won't have to fear anyone or anything the rest of your life. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because if the Lord defends you, who can be against you? No weapon that is formed against you will prosper. This is your birthright as a servant of the Most High God. Can you say amen? No weapon. Say it with me. No weapon. Glory to God. God is a mighty God. Verse 7 of Isaiah 64 said there's a reason that God wasn't manifesting himself. They were so satisfied with the practice, the ritualistic routine, righteous practice of their religion. No man stirs himself up to lay hold on thee. Can you say amen? We got what we wanted. We got our building. We got our symbol of success. We got the new addition. We got enough people to pay the bills. Nothing else that we need to be seeking God about. No man stirs himself, but one man was stirring himself. Isaiah said, this is not right. This is not right. Religion and religious ritual, even righteous practice of all the things God said, without desiring him, without expressing our desperate need for him, without reverencing him and obeying him so that he will come to our rescue, so that he will show up. It's not enough to just go to church and go through the motions. Can you say, man, people that have been going through the motions at church are falling away from God right now because church will not keep you. You need to know a person. You can't fall in love with a theological understanding of God, but a personal relationship with him. Holy Spirit said, I'm just like that servant that went to get a bride for this busy man. That didn't have time to go a court. Froggy went a courting and he did ride, Well, he couldn't go a courting and ride. So he sent his servant. Can you say, man, God sent the Holy Spirit to prepare a bride for his son. Can you say, man, hallelujah. And listen, she's bejeweled now. The gifts have already been given, but that's not satisfying. See, some Pentecostals got a few gifts and they didn't pursue the knowledge of Him. And because they didn't fall in love with Him with all this power, they fell away. Power don't keep you. Love and devotion keeps you. Hallelujah. Amen. Peter, do you love me more? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? The devotion to serve me unto the death is because of how deeply you love me. So I can anoint you with all these blessings and gifts and callings, but if you don't love me, see, love bears all things. Love endures all things. Love believes all things. Love never fails and love never ends. Oh! So follow after faith and hope and divine love are these three. But the greatest of these is love. Praise God. Hallelujah. If a man love me, he'll keep my commandments and they won't be grievous. David fell in love with God for His tender mercies. And he said, I'm not going to be tentative anymore. I'm going to run the way of Thy commandments. Hallelujah. Thy word really gets on my... when they preach straight like that, makes me squirm. No, he said, Thy word's a lamp to my feet. It's a light to my pathway. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. And then he said, open thy mouth wide. And thou will fill it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall be filled. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pray. This same preacher went from Brazil. He went to the Arctic. He went to Alaska, rather. He preached. He called for reverence. They did not respond with repentance and reverence. Same man, same calling, same anointing. No response. No one rededicated. He said they came in with a casual attitude. They walked out with just a casual attitude. No one reverenced the presence of God. Holy Spirit took a giant step back. You know, we can preach till we sweat through our clothes, but without the presence of God to touch and prick those hearts, we can't get it done. They couldn't. That's why Jesus said, I didn't just anoint you in the upper room and send you out, amen, just by yourself. I anointed you up there to go out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? God working with them. I heard of an Indian chief as we get ready to close, and he had been saved on the reservation. Great revival took place in the city years ago. And so someone went and got him and took him to the great revival. And the missionary that came with the power of God. There wasn't but about 50 Indians out there to hear him. But the power of God fell and the chief got saved. Praise God. Hallelujah. Began a mighty revival on the reservation in that day. And he thought, I'm going to church in the big city. And one of the premier evangelists is going to be preaching. And if that happened with our little old missionary, boy, I'm in for a treat. He was ready to receive. And the preacher came out. Of course, he's highly qualified, highly educated. We should be educated in the Word of God, studied to show thyself approved. All of that is right. But without the power of God, there's something missing. And if you've never encountered the power of God, you don't know what's missing. Think that's all there is to it. Well, that's not all there is. That's why Isaiah said, with all this practice of religion, without God coming down, something's missing. So, meeting was over. The chief was completely unmoved by the whole thing. So the guy that brought him said, well, what did you think of the meeting? He said, much thunder, much wind, no rain. It's kind of disappointing when you're in a drought, isn't it? Much thunder, much wind, no rain. You know what we're seeing in a lot of quarters today, and I don't want it to be me here. I want it to change here. Because I got the thunder and the wind. But we need the rain. Can somebody say amen? I'll bring you the thunder and the wind. But oh God, we need the rain. And we'll never have the rain until we're dissatisfied and said nothing will satisfy the longings of my soul but the presence of God. Hallelujah. Send down the rain, Lord. Send down the latter rain. Praise God. Just for a moment. Just for a moment as we close. I got another song here from William Booth. He said, I will open up streams in the desert. Pools in the wilderness. Can you say, man? Prophet said, you know, it's been dry so long, but I found water. I didn't know how deep it was. I thought I'd walk out in it and see how deep it was. I walked out and it was ankle deep. I went a little further. See, the church stops when they get just a little bit. We got that Brill Cream attitude. How many old enough to remember Brill Cream commercials? Amen. Brill Cream. Little dab will do you. That's about what happens on Sunday morning. A little dab will do you. Can you say, man, do you all week? No time for seeking God. No time for prayer. No one stirred up. Just go about your daily business. Come in, get another little dab. No, God says, that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the hungry heart. I'm looking for the heart that's hard after me. David said, my heart follows hard after you. Can you say, man? And how hard? Somebody say, how hard? So I can give you another psalm. Amen. As the heart pants for the water brooks. When that young deer is so thirsty, he's going to dehydrate and die if he don't find some water. Can you say, man? He said he stops everything he's doing. He starts sniffing for water. And when he finds that water, he heads for it. It becomes more vital and important to him than anything else in the world. And when God gets like that, amen, when you seek after him with all of your heart, you're going to find him. Yeah. Not in between movies on HBO. Oh, hallelujah. Not in between texts to your family. Not in between your job and your fishing trip. Your bowling and your golf, trying to fit him in somewhere. But when you get hungry for him, you'll find him. Not because he's hard to find, but it's hard for us to get focused with so many distractions. Can you say, man? Not because he doesn't want you to find him, but because you got to seek him. Because there's so much to cloak him from view. Can you say, man, what a wonderful God that we, oh, that thou would rend the heavens and come down. And the people who have prayed that prayer are the reason that revivals come. They don't come to satisfied Christians in churches that are good at practicing righteously their religion without the presence of God. Can you say, man? Can you say amen today? So there's a long journey of weeks to go from where he found that bride to go back. And now he's got a camel caravan. He's got this young woman. And the only thing she wants to know, because she's going to marry a man, not because of the blessings, the jewels, but because of the person. The person. She's going to fall in love with a person. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And all the way back, this servant said, man, I've known him for years. I can imagine him telling him, you know, there was a sheep out there in the pasture. One day it broke his leg and everybody said, he's too bad off. Just go ahead and kill him. We'll eat him and butcher him. He said, no. He bound it up. He's got great compassion. He loves so much. He, even an animal, he'll weep over an animal that is hurt. And she knows, oh, this man is going to be tender with me. It's not going to be rough with me, harsh with me. It's going to be tender and treat me with mercy and kindness. See, that's more important now than the jewels she's bedecked with. Can you say, man, oh, tell me more about Jesus. And that's what the Holy Spirit is here to testify of Him. Can you say amen? Until we literally fall in love with Him. Praise God. Hallelujah. And she keeps telling her story after story. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are a chosen generation. We are a peculiar people that we might show forth the praises of Him. That word praises is not what we just did in the preliminary. That word praises in the Greek is the virtues of Him. We show forth what He's really like. Can you say amen? We don't show some hypocritical, self-righteous, accusing, condemning religious attitude. We show a God that is so wonderful and so wondrous that kids wanted to run to Him and be blessed of Him. Amen? We show what? The virtues of Him. When you show a kindness, you're showing a virtue of Jesus to somebody. When you show love, you're showing a virtue of Christ to somebody. When you help somebody, I get taken a lot. I know I must, because people come up and say, I'm from out of town and I need gas. And I thought, here's a dollar, go get a burrito. No, I usually give them enough to actually get them a little ways down the road. And I know some of those people. It's a lie. But I don't know all the time who is and who's not. So I usually end up giving something. And then I say, maybe I shouldn't. But then I think, no, it's the virtues of Him. It's the virtues of Him. It's the virtue. It'll be all right. If I know they're going to use it wrong, I ain't going to give them nothing. Man came to the church one time there in Sulphur Springs. And he said, and I could tell he was a wine head, but anyway, you can tell after a while. He just a guy young. And he said, I hadn't had a sandwich and nothing to eat in 3 days. I said, all right. I said, right there, they got a Cuban sandwich right there, that Dairy Queen. I said, that thing is good. It's long. It's full of meat. It will bring you up. I'm going to give you enough money to get you one of them and get you a large drink and enough for tomorrow. But I said, and he grabbed the money, and I held it, and I put my hand on his hand. And I said, but I'm going to pray first. And he relaxed, and he thought, oh, he's going to bless me, bless me. Whatever, e pluribus unum, he's going to bless me. That's something in Latin. No, this was in plain English. And here's how I prayed in plain English. I said, listen. I said, Lord, if this man is going to use this to buy drink with, I pray that he will get sicker than he's ever been in his entire life. And you know what he did? He lost his composure. He lost his line. He said, oh, no, don't pray that. I said, I thought you were hungry and wanted a sandwich. He said, I'll get a sandwich. I watched him walk all the way to the Dairy Queen. I stood out there and said, you better get you a sandwich. Yeah. So sometimes they're playing you. But the Bible said, but the Bible said, be careful. Someday a stranger's going to show up, need a little help, and you just entertain an angel unaware. Can you say, man? So sometimes I'm going to take the risk just for the proposition and possibility of showing forth the virtue of Jesus to somebody. Can you say, man? This world has heard the message. They need to see some living epistles. Praise God. Ambassadors of Jesus Christ. People that can represent Him as He is. Hallelujah. Not as religion is presenting Him. Not as some kind of profiteer that you have to purchase blessings from, but a God who's so generous, He gave His Son, and a Son that's so loving that He gave Himself on the tree. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Jesus said you can expect with the Holy Ghost fire. He doesn't come without fire. If you try to have Him without the fire, you don't have the true manifest presence of God. Because the fire is not just what we feel. It's what in the spiritual realm is occurring. Something attends the presence of God 24/7. It's called the Shekinah. It's what was on that burning bush when God spoke from that bush. There was a fire that didn't burn up the bush, but you couldn't miss it. Can you say amen? And on the day of Pentecost, there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind. And what else happened? Immediately, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And upon their heads, say, flick your bick. One time we were in a service and we had a wedding scheduled and we had nothing to light the candles with. So I asked that big bunch of people gathered, anybody here got anything to light candles with? About 50 people stood up. Anyway, with these fancy lighters. Amen. We should light candles all over the place anyway. And forget the candles, just flick your bicks. We'll hold them up. I'm going to tell you something. Upon their head, artist perception, if you've seen it in one of those big family Bibles, there was this little bitty flame. Looked like a candle on a birthday cake behind their head. I want you to know what came on the day of Pentecost. There's no little flame like a candle. It was the glory of God dancing on the heads of those whose bodies had become His temple. He came to take up His place in that temple, and the resplendent attendant glory came. Can you say amen? And that's why Paul said, listen, your body. If you're going to go behind that veil now because you can, because it's rent, what kind of reverence you going to show walking up into that holy presence? Well, give that same reverence for the one who's indwelling you right now. Can you say, man, glory to God. Give that same reverence for the one who's indwelling. You know what he went on to say? I got to tell you this. I'm going to preach straight and quit. But listen, he said, if you go out tonight, if I went out tonight and joined myself to a harlot, spiritually, I'm joining Christ because He's living within me. We can't treat this thing like we've been treating this thing. Can you say amen? No wonder we're not seeing this manifest power and presence of God. Part of a perfect heart is whether or not we reverence His presence. This is a holy Bible. This is the Holy Spirit. One time we thought about changing our name when everybody was. Don't let it be too much about the cross. That seems to offend people. Don't use the word holy. They introduced me at a pastor's meeting, and they got the name of the church wrong. They said, the most holy church of God. And I said, I've got to make a correction. We're just holy. We're still working on holy. Be ye holy. You that bear the vessels of the Lord. Can you say amen? Why? Because this mighty God has come to indwell you and indwell me. Keep it holy. Because if someone defiles the temple, him shall God destroy. For this cause, Paul said, many among you are sick with the covenant of healing, and many among you are dead before your time. Because God is to be reverenced, and somebody ought to teach that to the Christians that attend these meetings so casually and carnally. Amen? If it's that serious, somebody ought to talk about that. Oh, we don't want to offend anybody. As one pastor said, why don't you ever teach on sin or hell or judgment or any of these things that the Bible talks about? He said, because it's not sexy enough for my congregation. I'm cool, and they're cool, and we just want to talk about things that are cool. That man ought not be in a pulpit, because he's going to answer to God if someone's blood is spilled because he didn't tell the truth on Sunday. One thing about it, you may not come back here, but you will hear the truth when you are here. Can you say amen? Because I've been doing this for 40 years without everybody's applause. I've been doing it with or without amens. I've been doing it with or without man's a blessing. Can you say? In fact, I've done it with men's cursing. But here I stand today declaring this precious truth. Can you say amen? Are you bragging? No, I'm telling you that no weapon is formed against you will prosper. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith God. Hallelujah. 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 When a man's ways please the Lord, I've give up on pleasing everybody, but I'm working hard at pleasing Him. He never pleased everybody. And I'm nowhere near like him. But I love him. How many has ever heard of the Salvation Army? And I'm not just talking about the store where you get those bargains. I'm talking about the movement that began when a man by the name of William Booth, he looked out and he saw the church just like Isaiah saw it, satisfied. And he said, we can't touch the world. Ain't no fire here. Ain't nothing that represents the presence and power of God here. There's the practice of religion, and it should be, but there's no presence of God. No power of God to save and convict and deliver and set free. He started a movement first on the streets called the Salvation Army. Amen. And he wrote a song about the need in the church for this fire that Isaiah was talking about. Amen. Oh, that you would come down. And what happens when he comes down? Fire falls. Fire falls. Let the God that answers by fire, mountains melt. Can you say amen at his presence? What happened on the day of Pentecost? A wind and fire. Everybody say wind and fire. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How many know we need the rain in this building today? Praise God. Hallelujah. How many people in here want to go forward, want to press on, want to get a hold of something called divine dissatisfaction? Amen. We want God to show up. You know why I use that term? I got to close. How long am I going to preach? I have no idea. But I'm trying to close. Amen. But if we're going to have a revival, we're going to have to change our agenda. Can you say amen? If there's something more important than this is not the Lord's day in your life. I don't care what it is. Let the bridegroom leave his chamber. Must be pretty important. Come on, the book of Joel said, oh, a man's on his honeymoon. He ain't got time to come to church. He said, let him leave his chamber. God wants to move. If he married a Christian woman, she'll understand. Bridegroom leave his chamber? They lock him in there for 7 days back then. And nobody's to bother them. But when God calls, said, let the bridegroom leave his chamber. When we get ready to get serious about seeking God, God's going to get serious about responding to us. Hallelujah. And I believe he's serious today. Praise God. Amen. I made a commitment to the Lord to take that Isaiah thing, move it right over into Acts chapter 4. Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that we might speak your word with boldness by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders occur in the name of Jesus Christ, that the gospel not come in word only, but in power through the Holy Ghost and much assurance. And when they had prayed like that, the place they were in, they gathered, was shaken. And they were all filled. They had been baptized already, but the Holy Ghost just stood up tall inside all of them. Can you say amen? And they spoke the word of God with boldness and with great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! So, Mr. Booth started a movement, said, we're going to pray that God send a holy anointing, convicting souls, filling Christians to where their witness has impact and import. Reap this harvest for Christ, because that mighty fire is going to be present upon believers who share the gospel. And he wrote a song about it. We're going to get to hear it and see the words to it. Hallelujah. And how many still believe we need that fire, to that same fire today? We got the most educated preaching staffs that we've ever had. We've got counselors that have studied all the psychology so they can try to blend some gospel in there with pop psychology and be cool. We need God's power. We need God's power. You need God's power. I need God's power. I'm not going to sit up here and pontificate and sit on my pedestal and accuse other churches of not having it until, even if we have it, I don't want to accuse. I just want to invite them. Come on. Come on. Come on. Let's seek God together till he come and rain righteousness on us. Hallelujah. How many want to move forward in this? How many want this? You're hungry for this. Come on, listen, you'll dry up with the correct theology. Ephesians did with the correct theology, with Bible studies that were right on. They dried up. They lost their lampstand. And the ruins of that church that Paul established, they're to look at this day, and it didn't take long for them to come to ruin. I want that. So I made a covenant. I said, Lord, I will not put a peanut butter sandwich in my mouth, let alone a meal. When I ask you to bless the meal, when I ask you to stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders be done where Jesus is exalted, not just for us, but where his name is exalted. This is not for us to appear great or to grow or to have some badge. This is for the gospel to penetrate that darkness, because the gospel is threatened, not just the preachers now, but the gospel itself is under a dire threat. Can you say, man, the gospel, the faith that was once delivered to the saints, is being perverted and polluted by leaders that I would have never believed had I not seen it and heard it from their own lips. The world church is getting ready to form, and a lot of Pentecostals are going to be part of it. Because it's not about whether you talk in tongues or not. It's about what you know about Jesus and his truth and where you stand. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So you better do more than just give me a liver shiver. You better tell me the truth, because I ain't got time to play with this thing. I want that fire to fall. I want it to burn out the dross in me. Can you say, man, start with me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Will you stand your feet with me? Thank you for being an attentive audience. If you want religious ritual, there are churches that will accommodate you. If you just want a Bible study so you can pontificate and point your finger at others without passion in your own heart while you're drying up, join the Church of Ephesus. Join the Church of Ephesus. But if you're hungry for the living God, hallelujah, then start seeking him right out of your heart. Make a place in your life and a time in your life for fellowship with him. Because, oh, by the way, servant gets back. This woman's hurt so much for weeks in that journey. She knows this man, having not seen, she's fallen deeply in love. She don't care if he got a big nose or a little one now. Can you say, man? She don't care if he bald or bushy-headed. She's fell in love with the man and the man. Can you say, man? She wasn't looking for no Chippendale. And I'm not talking about Disney either. Can you say amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. When she said, they got a long way off. He's out there in the field. He's a busy man. Glory to God. She said, is that him? He said, yeah, that's him. And the Bible says she lit off her camel. She didn't light up. Come on. Can you say, man? She jumped off her camel. Hallelujah. And she went running. Praise God. You know something? One day a trump is going to sound. I'm going to light off my camel. Hallelujah. Amen. I ain't going to be dainty. I'm not going to be dignified. Amen. I'm in love. Here come this. There's a bride that's going to come running to Jesus. Well, it ain't going to be like this old dead church world. No passion. No love. Just show up. They're going to run to him. Amen. And to they that look with that kind of passion, he shall appear the second time without sin unto glory. To they that look, to they that look. You know what makes people keep looking? Because they long for him. That's why that woman was longing for him. She wasn't like these gold diggers that said, I got all these jewels. I don't care what kind of man he is, man. I got my bling bling. Can you say, man? Come on, I got my bling, and that's my thing. Look at this ring. No, she said, this ain't nothing compared to him. Where is he, daughters of Jerusalem? Where is he whom my soul loveth? We haven't seen him. Well, I gotta find him. I gotta find him. I gotta find him. I gotta find him. Watchman on the wall, have you seen him? No, we haven't. I gotta find him. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And she found him whom her soul loveth. Brought him home to her mama's table and said, I'm my beloved's. He's mine. His banner over me is love. Can you say, man, I'm not satisfied till I'm in his presence. I won't be satisfied till I'm in his presence. Woo! Listen for the answer. Listen for the interpretation. Yea, saith God, I will rain righteousness on you. I will rain blessings on you. But I will rain righteousness on you. And I will manifest myself to you and through you, saith the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those people hungry for righteousness now are going to be filled. William Booth said, we need this fire, this holy fire. Let's get right with God so that fire will fall. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let's give him praise. Let's have this song. Do you understand the words now better? Hallelujah. Let's give him thanks in this room. God is calling hearts. He wants to capture hearts in this room today. Give him your heart. If you need prayer, you're welcome at the end of this song to come. Let's give him praise in this room. Blessed be the name of our Lord, our God, and our King. I didn't give it to you. You cannot play it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the song that William Booth penned to go with his vision. Hallelujah. To see the fire of God back among God's people and see the great harvest brought in.
We ask you, just like William Booth did over 100 years ago, send the fire. Send the fire. Send the fire.
Yes, Lord. Church, cry unto him. Hallelujah. You've been that religious route. You've been through the routine. Showing your hunger. Showing your hunger. Jesus.
It's fire we want. For fire we bleed. Give us strength to always do what's right and
fire, Lord.
Send your fire.
Holy Ghost fire. Hallelujah.